the button.
The muffins. The scrolling, the scrolling, you... the buttons, the scrolling so smooth like the butter on a muffin.
You are not strong bad.
No, I'm not. No.
No.
But we are the apropos of nothing. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And you had all better buckle up for the sex, because we have stuff and we're going to drink it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's one way to phrase things.
Yep.
Salsa is apparently trying a different script tonight.
I mean,
script has always been pretty loose.
Are you going to read those cans or are you going to toss them away? All right. Yeah.
I've got one.
Bitch.
What are we drinking?
About the boys' beer.
Local craft, global flavors. Venn Brewing Co. The Pomegranate Guava Sour. This just sounds fucking amazing. Venn Brewing Co. Minneapolis. From full-flavored craft lagers to carefully crafted ales, our beers are meant to be enjoyed while catching up with old friends or while making new ones.
Their beers are meant to be enjoyed?
Beer is best in your mouth.
What happens to
Not me? In your cellar. Drink it fresh. Well, as opposed to, I assume, Natty Ice, which
or,
is...
Or anything by...
Meant to...
Anheuser-Busch.
Fill a can that they can sell,
mm-hmm.
and not much else.
Anyway, we've got Guava Pomegranate Sour.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So I got the boys the beers, but I am going to try a sip.
That glass looks huge.
It is huge. It's bigger than my head.
Yeah, we got big fucking steins.
Yeah, because these are gigantic beers.
These are liter steins.
Hey.
Mmm.
Cilantro.
I don't think there's any cilantro on that.
Oh. Yep.
I mean, that's...
That's a good fucking beer.
As far as beers go, that one is not so hoppy.
Like it tastes like grapefruit.
That's what? Kind of a part of the problem I'm having.
No. I don't...
Well, I think it's the...
I taste a citrus.
But it's like a grapefruity citrus as opposed to like an orange citrus.
Yeah.
I think it's like a blood orange citrus.
Could
I know
be,
that's
yeah.
picking nits, but...
No, it could be blood orange.
Yeah. Halfway between
blood orange and grapefruit somewhere.
If I was going to drink a beer, I'd drink that beer.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Instead, I am having mead.
Ooh.
Winehaven, the honey wine stinger mead. So the wine store I thought might have a selection of mead, and they had two selections of mead.
I
was
that is a selection.
Only in the most technical of senses.
They had
you get to choose.
Yes.
So I went with the honey wine as opposed to the rosé blush mead. Yep. I'm like, you know, it's not a... Okay, never mind. Anyway, yeah. So I'm having mead and the guys have a little bit
also,
too.
How redundant is that?
So.
Rosé blush?
Mm-hmm. So, mead. I've had this before. I like it. I still like it.
Yes, yeah. Have I.
It is meaty.
I don't know that I ever have.
Oh, well, then you should have some.
I have had some marvelous beers these past few days.
That's quite smooth.
Yeah,
My sister-in-law and her boyfriend.
Do you want me to read this for...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Winehaven is a family-owned winery located in the heart of Minnesota's scenic Chisago Lake areas. The honeybee on the Winehaven's label represents the Peterson family's heritage as producers of the region's finest honey.
Oh, for sure.
Each wine is crafted in a style that showcases the distinctive character of Winehaven's vineyards, where four generations of Petersons continue to live, work, and play.
Oh.
There it is. This premium honey wine, traditionally known as mead, is made from a blend of Minnesota wildflower and basswood honey.
Mm.
The result is a smooth, nicely balanced wine with intense honey flavors and a crisp, delicious finish.
It's got like a wood flavor to it, so yeah, I like it.
Perhaps basswood?
Yeah. Maybe.
I
assume.
Basswood honey,
yeah.
So.
I've always thought that was amazing, that you could taste what the bees were about.
That's mildly creepy now that I think about it.
When I'm making mead, clover honey is the cheapest, but you also get less interesting meads, whereas you get like orange blossom,
blueberry,
more expensive, but really interesting notes and stuff like that. Like you can get so many different kinds of honeys, and they all do different kinds of things. And
honey from bees that have pollinated pepper plants is amazing.
I believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, what I was saying before, I apologize. I didn't know you were going to read the label.
Sure.
No, that's fine.
My sister-in-law and her husband spent last weekend up north. In the Grand Marais area.
Up north.
I gave them a couple of growlers to bring back beer with, and they brought back one from Fitgers and one from Canal Park Brewing in Duluth.
Nice.
The Fitgers one is their apricot ale, which is amazing. Even my wife, who doesn't like beer, will drink that one. And the one from Canal Park is a strawberry ale, which I haven't cracked open yet, but I am really looking forward to it. So I have been drinking amazing beverages the past few days.
Yes.
Excellent.
And this is definitely keeping up with that trend.
Yeah. I'm helpful.
So. Yeah, this is quite good. I did get to try the apricot, and I share your enthusiasm for it.
Mm-hmm.
The sour is so good, though.
It is.
Yeah. It sounded tasty. If there's a beer that actually sounds tasty to me, I'm like, I should make somebody else try this.
This has a surprisingly beautiful color to it, too.
Yeah. So, speaking of up north, friends of mine, the Bergs, recently purchased Lake Breeze Motel Resort. About halfway between Duluth and Two Harbors.
Well.
And there was an article No, it was actually a Fox article. I apologize. But yeah, they on them and their recent purchase, and now that's just where I'm gonna have to go all the time.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
How will you manage?
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna pay them for their space, but you know. pretty much how I always have managed going up north. But yeah, so they're living the dream. They've wanted to do this for about 10 years, and
that's awesome.
Yeah,
And the resort's a little. It's one of those more rundown kind of resorts. It's been there for forever, they're gonna do some fixing up, and update their website. Oh my God, go to their website. It's horrible.
Is it all angel fiery?
Oh God, not quite angel fiery, but it is
skull
not.
Gifts.
Oh no, no, no. It's. The links are all actual URL text links.
Oh.
It's, yeah.
And it does have the little animated heave of the guy shoveling. Under construction.
No.
Under construction.
Oh, yeah.
No. It is technically mobile compatible.
Huh.
Which is adorable.
In that if you have a phone, you can look at it.
No, it actually smushed over to my phone size fairly well.
How much of that is the mobile's browser doing? And
I think it's the browser. It's but it's I mean, it was easy to navigate because there's not a lot there to navigate. if the directions are turn left, that's pretty easy navigation.
Speaking of Winehaven.
Yes.
The mead that we are drinking. I drove past, and I assume James also drove past the vineyard on our way to Renaissance Festival.
Yes.
Yay!
This weekend, which only happened one day because it rained out and was canceled second day.
Oh, boy. It sure
is a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
Because last year apparently was fantastic, and so there was high hopes, and this was my first time seeing it, and to have us basically stand in the drizzle all day Saturday and then have Sunday canceled was really, really a disappointment.
Right.
Not a disappointment in the festival.
No.
They made the right choice. Yeah. You can't control Mother Nature, but just disappointment with the weather. I have concerns and really hope that something like this will not be too big of a hit on them that they can't bounce back.
Yeah.
Because I would absolutely love to see them, you know, the subsequent years. But sometimes something like this can take a small organization like that out. So hopefully they can bounce back. So we'll cross our fingers for that. But other than that, it was a quiet Saturday, mostly because it drizzled all day. But the people that did come out were, you know, looking to be entertained.
Oh, yeah.
And
I walk in the door. Entertain me.
Yeah,
Here we are now.
I only ended up doing one show because the rest of the shows were just rained out, basically. And my one show was to three patrons. James and Kyle were walking around telling dad jokes. And
oh yeah,
I'm shocked. To
be,
seems to be getting some good laughs. So
yeah, which is weird for us. Yeah, yeah, and we got to caught. Oh wow, that is a lot of beer. We got to catch a lot of other people's acts, including Pizpor. Was there.
Yay.
Got to see my... I've seen the Naughty Body Brigade around, but I've never actually gotten to see their show. And it is filthy.
Yeah, it is.
And they told a joke that... I think Salsa was there for it, and I think it just fucking floored all of us. That fucking joke was amazing. Yeah.
Oh my god!
So, they did a fantastic job. And then I caught a little bit of Aiden, Chad, and I'm afraid I don't know their third.
Morningwood.
I know the name of the band is Morningwood. I can't remember the name of their third person, their cello player or bass player. But
you know they're different instruments, right?
The cello and the bass.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
It's a bass.
It is a bass. Okay.
I didn't get a good look at it. I just saw him hauling it around in a case.
Was he sitting or standing when he played it?
I didn't get to see him actually playing.
Was it as big as him or not as big as him?
It was... Well, he's a like a reedy
chap. Doesn't matter.
That's accurate.
Actually. Oh, fair. Yeah. I mean, I suppose a cello is smaller. So.
But it's significantly smaller, yes.
By a long shot.
The bulk of my in-person experience with cellos is when my sister was learning to play the cello, and she was in sixth grade, and I was in third grade. Mm. So I still view that as being a huge instrument.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is the reason for the confusion. But yeah, okay, so that's it was definitely a bass.
Yes.
Hmm. I caught, I want to say, two or three of their songs that were primarily accordion. And so Chad stepped to the front for those, and it was good. They've got a good mixture, a good chemistry with the three of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hung out with the Vikings because they had fire.
Ooh.
They had fire, and they had a warming tent.
And
just little tiny two-person, like three people, it was pretty crowded, but they had a space heater in there.
Nice. Oh, see, I never went in. I should have.
Oh, yeah. It was like there was a couple times where I was starting to not feel my toes, and you went in there, and
it was
5 minutes. You're just like, I need
warm
to step
enough
out.
For me in their open tent.
Well, I got water.
I was about to say you're not one to freeze easily.
No, that's true.
Well, and I was fine. I just got water in my boots.
Yeah.
At the beginning, and so just my toes got cold.
Yeah,
I was fine beyond that.
I bought new boots. I'm wearing them today, but they're just a bit shiny to be proper fest boots at the moment. So
that's not a problem.
Yeah, I'm breaking them in for the next season because my old ones have been through now three fest seasons, and they've earned their rest. So
may they rest in peace.
Pieces, yes.
Aww.
But they were still watertight enough. I got like a trickle of mud in there, I think, at some point, but they were more or less fine. The
ladies and gentlemen, Salsa's on call.
Yeah. For the most part, my feet were, I want to say, pretty warm and dry.
Nice.
But yeah, there was like. I want to say 2 to 3 inches of standing water in places that we were trudging through. The mud was so thick that the Viking encampment had laid down straw and also in places like cloth, disposable cloth.
Oh.
That was just being sort of subsumed by the field. It was muddy and ferociously cold. I want to say it was down in the middle to early 40s.
I had mildly debated, like, just showing up for something. And
I'm
glad I did not. Yeah.
You would have been glad to see the things that were out there, but you also would have been desperately unhappy for pretty much the rest of the day.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I crawled in under a blanket when I got home. I changed into dry clothes the moment we left. But it was pretty bitter out there. I do feel bad for them, because they set up all of the dominoes for a really excellent show.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. I know that, Lex also said, like, small business, but a hit like that can be real hard when you're getting started. And I've only heard good, pleasant things about them. So
a super rough year can be very damaging. I'm hoping that they'll do well in between now and next year, so that they can get things together, and then I wish them all the success in the world.
Because they only
do
the one weekend, right?
They do. Just the one weekend. God. Yeah.
So half of their season's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the first half wasn't great.
Half of their season was blown away, and then, the other half was very minorly attended. It was somewhat nicer the next day, but it was still, like, bitterly cold and just...
And wet.
Rough. Yeah, well, and the other thing is that even though it wasn't raining as hard, it was still raining the second day, and the field was already torn up.
Yeah, there wasn't a chance for things to get cleared up or anything. That's unfortunate. Not at
all. Yeah, it was.
Sorry, guys.
But Kyle and I were very surprised when we looked at the poster, because with all of the acts that were there, he and I were fifth billing, which seems wrong somehow.
God damn it.
They may have incurred the wrath of the gods by doing that.
Are you sure it was a ranked system and not, like, alphabetical?
No, it wasn't.
Was it?
No, it wasn't alphabetical. I
adore and appreciate your guys' act as much as anyone who doesn't like dad jokes can.
Thank you.
I understand the artistry in loose terms with air quotes behind it. And honestly, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's my thing. Like, everybody else is having a good time, and you guys are good at engaging your audiences. So, yeah, like, I do understand that there's value to that, and that's good, but
But
like, I know Piss Poor was there, Casimir was there, Fatty Body Brigade was there, the Vikings were there.
Morningwood.
Mm-hmm.
Other acts that aren't usually out at
But, like,
MNRF
what my thing is that I know a lot of the caliber of acts that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume there's
a belly dancing
other
troupe.
Really great acts out there that would... Yep, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Squires.
Mm-hmm. Seemed weird, but Kyle was like, hey, huh? And I was like, there's something wrong with that.
They were throwing darts.
Shit.
They threw darts, and they hit you guys for fifth, and they're like, all right.
No, I'm.
Or maybe, they did it out of self-preservation. Like, if we don't give them a good building, they're just gonna follow us around until puns.
There was that risk. Yeah, there was that risk. Yeah, but so Saturday was, you know, the day that we got to do things. We did tell dad jokes. We entertained people around the fires where, you know, most of the...
Most people had congregated.
Half dozen to a dozen patrons had congregated when they weren't actively in under shelter watching a show. The fires were super popular and like very smart marketing by because it was the Vikings, but then it was also who had a great showing, and then there was also a pirate group that had put a fire out in front of a booth that sold fire pits, and I was like, that's
that
you're fucking geniuses.
That's brilliant.
Yes,
that is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, no, and like even now, I'm thinking about that fire pit, and I want one. It's because it.
I want one too. I just don't have a yard to put it in right now.
Yeah, because these disassembled, they were like Lincoln logs.
What?
But metal, and they like snap together.
That's so metal.
Yeah, and they custom cut, laser cut. Whatever emblems and things you want in them. So they had a semi-dome made out of panels that had like Game of Thrones emblems. And then, but other than that, out in front of the royal tent, like we went and told them a couple of jokes, and they laughed politely and offered us cookies, which I assume were to shut us up. And then, there was a bard out front of one who was like, I need to write a sea shanty. And I was like, I know some sea shanties. And he was like, it can't be filthy because there are children. And I was like, good luck. All right. And he's like, no, help me write one. You two are good with words. And I was like, all right. So, yeah, I wrote a verse of a sea shanty with the bard about the oncoming storm, which seemed...
Appropriate?
Appropriate, yeah.
Possibly appropriate.
Fuck. Perhaps a little too? Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. But then, you know, like, Kyle was extremely smart. I wanted to take my car up there, but he was like, let's take the big fuck-off van. Because if the weather gets severe...
big fuck-off van.
Yeah. And plus, we can change in that. And I was like, oh, good point.
Yeah.
Because I know I can change in my car, but I don't want to subject any other person.
There's so much there that I don't want to visualize right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine it's like changing into a scuba suit in a sleeping bag.
I can do that.
Well, yes. Most sleeping bags are designed to accommodate at least you and one other person. sleeping bags are not well designed for me.
Aww.
Most of the time, yeah. They don't make a tall.
Aww. Poor thing.
Well, they don't make an affordable tall. I've been to REI and they were like, look at this. This sleeping bag is tall enough even for you, sir. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'll bet the price is pretty fucking tall. Yep. Oh, yep. Starts with a 3 and has more than 2 digits. Fuck.
Now I want to make sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Better be like making quilts. Denim sleeping bag.
I have
so many old jeans.
Questions, but not necessarily concerns. I don't...
Right. I have a million old jeans. Ooh. So that's actually... Side tangent. I am currently making an apron out of an old pair of jeans.
Yes.
And it is... So I am... So sometimes when you're crafting, you have these moments where everything comes together better than it should.
Mm-hmm.
So, I cut the skirt. So basically, this old pair of jeans, I have cut them off at the crotch,
as one does,
so that the butt of the jeans are the front skirt of the apron, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got, you know, a bit of a curve and whatever. And then I did it so that it curves a bit and it goes curves up into the back. The waistband of the skirt is the waistband of the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just... I cut off, like, the zipper and everything. You can just hook it on with the button.
That's real smart.
Yeah. I'm like, why come up with a new fastener?
Did you leave the belt loops? Fastener?
I left the belt loops. And the way that I cut it, the front pockets, because it was guy's jeans, so it actually had front pockets. But the front pockets, it comes up and around right on the other side of the front pocket, so you've got, like, bigger loops that are right at your butt. So you can tuck in, like, rags and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. So that worked out splendidly and kind of how I had thought and hoped. But the front bib part... So when I cut off the pant legs, I was like, okay, well, I should be able to use the pant legs in some way, shape, or form to make the front bib. When you make jeans, what happens is the legs are somewhat straight, but then there's a curve at the crotch area because you want to be able to put your crotch in the pants, right? Like, that's
right.
That's important.
Yeah.
So there's a curve there for, like, your butt and your crotch and whatever. So when I did this, that curve existed on the pant legs. And so I can, instead of worrying about trying to get the apron bib to wrap around more than just the very front, that curve now goes towards the back, and I can start part of the way back already.
Oh, sure.
And it just, and it's along the hem part, so, like, I cut right at the hem. So it's and it's that doubled over portion. So now I'm already pre-hemmed on that side. And it just naturally curves pretty much the way that I wanted it to. And bib. I literally have to sew the pants, the legs onto the waistband and the neck portion. Which, by the way, those hems come up all the way around and are long enough to sew together behind the neck.
Nice.
Like, almost perfectly. Yeah. So I just need to put a little head hole. Like, I basically sew them together and then put a head hole in there. And apron.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, so now I want to make a denim sleeping bag, because apparently upcycling jeans is my new thing.
Fair.
But, yeah.
See, I would get an apron like that and then belt it. Just put a leather belt in at the waist.
I mean, you can. But it's already a waistband. So why?
You know.
For fashion?
Sure.
Oh, you're pretty.
Well, Google wasn't going to tell me that, so I appreciate that. That was really funny, by the way.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
What was it that Google told? So, smart home. At my house, we have Google Smart Home, because I'm that kind of nerd. And I found out that you can ask your Google Assistant to compliment you. And so I asked Google to tell me that I'm pretty. Or if I was pretty, and Google told me I was prettier than a perfectly wrapped Ethernet cable.
Correct.
And I swooned. I was like, take me now, Google. Like, yeah. And then my roommate, whom I love, but we all had a bit of a chuckle on this one, was like... She asked Google to tell her she was pretty, and the assistant said, "You're more put together than a spreadsheet."
A well-formatted spreadsheet.
Yeah. And it's like, that sounds like way too much organization for my art teacher roommate. So, yeah. That's, yep. Like, I'm the one that spreadsheets.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's, I mean.
Google just got confused.
Yeah, you got your fortune cookie swapped. Speaking of which, it's weird that it reminds me of this, but I'll tell you why. This last week I was in the 5th anniversary show of Double Blind Improv.
I was there. It was funny.
Yeah, I had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, was that fun. I have never enjoyed a game of synonym roles as much as I did that one.
It was so good.
Especially just like off the top of my head when he was like, come up with a different word for honey. And I was like,
sticky yum.
Sticky yum yum. And like, nope, fucking, that was as it. Soon as I, as soon as it fell out of my mouth, I was like,
that's
fuck,
it.
That's gonna be it.
That's it. No, I liked string of letters.
Yeah, stringing letters on the thread of life.
Yes, for talking.
Talking. Yeah. Jesus,
that was great.
Yeah. No, I
so listeners, yeah. Synonym roles is where you are doing a scene and then the MC buzzes at a specific word and tells you that you need to replace that word with a synonym, but you have to keep listing words until the host picks one of those words that you yourself have said out loud. And then that is what you replace that word with for the rest of the scene. So when you had to talk about sticky yum-yums,
yeah.
And stringing the letters on the thread of life in conversation, it was pretty ridiculous.
Replacing bears or creatures with cuddly, furry, fuzzy... Oh, no, it was bears with cuddly, furry, fuzzy creatures.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And there were others. But yeah. It got to be quite lengthy, and it is always amusing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Especially as more words get replaced, it gets... Yep. Increasingly fucked for us.
Like, I knew that cuddly, furry, fuzzy creatures liked sticky yum yums,
right?
But didn't know they could string letters together on the thread of life,
right?
Like, yeah, yep,
yeah,
yep. So, more you wanted to say about that?
Well, I the reason that it made me think of that is that, in a prior show, Eric Thompson, curse the French, he hands out the little slips with our names on it. And then we, as the participants, will run up on stage as he announces our name and we drop our name into the thing. And so then he's digging through the hat and he pulls out two other names and he pulls out a third name. And he goes, okay, so we've got this person and a fucking fortune cookie. Fortune.
Oh my god, what? Really?
And I was like, oh shit, that's definitely me. And I like dug casually through my pockets and found my name slip and like sheepishly walked up to swap it with him.
Fucking totally on accident.
Yep.
That's just hilarious.
Just had it in my pocket.
That
I collect
is
them. So.
So funny.
Yeah.
I used to collect them, but then I never did anything with them.
Oh,
so
I
then
did.
I just got rid of them.
I created the jar of fate because I worked at a Chinese restaurant and I
sure
like had I like a fortune cookie or two per day, and
right.
then ended up with several hundred fortunes.
So do you just keep them in a jar?
It's in one of those big Marco Rossi wine jugs.
Okay.
And then when you have a question, I treat it like a magic eight ball. You know,
okay.
you pick it up, you give it a little, like, you know,
shaky-zhuzh.
Yeah, like, whoosh, and then you turn it over, and the first one to touch your hand is your answer.
Okay.
And, I mean, is it suspect?
Like, I was thinking, like, making a placemat out of it, or
well,
decoupage,
yeah,
or
I'm
something.
I'm sure there are a million practical things you could do with it, but there are also at least one ridiculous things that you can do with it. And,
you're gonna go with
that's
the ridiculous.
That's my life.
That's,
yeah.
that's you.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
you.
So...
Should we take a break? Because we don't have... Salsa's working on an issue, and we don't have him to tell us when to stop.
I feel like that's a
and
tremendous
we're probably plan. Way past when we should have stopped, so...
So we're going to take a break.
I feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback at aonpodcast.com.
Yeah. Did not puke into a biff.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James. Fuck, man.
And I'm Jenna. I have never puked in a biff. Thank you very much.
I certainly have.
I definitely have.
I have not puked at festival minus the one time. I did puke in a biff that one time. When
story's fallen apart.
No, because I had switched medication.
Oh.
And didn't realize how high, it was that night a couple years back at Booth.
Yeah.
Did not realize how much that would affect my alcohol intake, and I'm like, this is stupid. What the fuck? Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Every time I have vomited in a biff, it is because I have also switched medication.
Yep.
From brown liquors to clear liquors.
I knew this joke was coming, but it was still well executed, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I do take it back. There was that one time, but I survived till 30-something before I puked in a biff, so...
Not for me, it was just 2 years ago. You remember that night. threw up once outside of first aid, threw up again in the biff, and then rinsed my mouth out.
Do you guys remember that?
But Josh made me laugh so hard I threw up.
Yep.
You do now.
Yeah. Fuck, it was adorable. Man. It was adorable. Hey, weren't you leaving? Inside jokes. Anyway.
yep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've told this story, though.
Oh,
I
believe
so.
Yes, we have.
For new
absolutely.
Listeners, apologies, but for the old, chuckle with us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you pushed the button, but we don't know what we're talking
about. Yeah, we forgot
we can talk about more things.
Let's talk about things.
Oh, yeah.
What did you talk about while I was away?
Mostly the Royal Fair.
And then we tangented.
Mm-hmm.
We tangentially tangented.
I have a thing.
Okay.
It's my son's birthday tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That
oh
is
my
exciting.
God.
4 years old.
Jesus
shit.
Fuck.
My little boy's four. Yeah.
I love how mine was Jesus fuck and yours was holy shit.
Yeah.
This is a very religious cursing.
Yeah.
No, he's my little boy and he's 4 years old.
Aww.
He has made the executive decision as of a few hours ago that instead of a pirate themed party, he wanted a dinosaur themed party.
Oh.
Okay.
Which was thankfully right before my wife ordered the cake.
Oh God. Okay.
And the big present he's getting this year had dinosaurs in it. So we like
nice.
Oh my god. Oh, you lucked the shit out of that one.
Like, he would have liked it, of course, anyway, no matter
whether
it had. But like, now that he suddenly went to dinosaurs, and it was like, yes.
Oh.
Got it in one.
Nice.
You got the parenting bonus.
Yeah. Cleanly done.
Yep,
plus three to child satisfaction.
But we put together some little... You know, what are those called? Favor packets.
Oh, sure,
for
sure.
For his
party
classmates
favors,
for tomorrow. And,
aww.
And I guess...
that's really sweet of you.
Is that a thing?
My parents sent me with raisins.
Raisins are good.
Raisins are good, but other kids showed up with, like, carloads of cupcakes and shit. I was not a well-loved child.
I don't know any of this because Jessa was born in the summer.
Oh, fair.
So I'm like, I don't... Yeah. That's a thing? Okay, well...
And I admit a greater portion of fault with not being well-liked by my classmates, but I'm going to say part of that was probably that I brought boxes of raisins.
See, with my mother being a professional cake baker...
Oh, you son of a
we
bitch.
We showed up with sheet cakes. We were very popular until mid-elementary when they suddenly put in the rule that all treats had to be
pre-packaged
and stuff like that. And suddenly that went away.
That sucks.
Oh, that's
so
bullshit.
Suddenly that was no longer a thing.
God. So.
And they wouldn't accept that it was packaged at the place or no?
Just at our house,
I suppose.
Yeah. Mom made all of our cakes in her own kitchen. So
could she have put it in bakery wrapping? Look, I'm seeing ways around this.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. And so his birthday is tomorrow, and the party is this weekend, and I'm super, super proud of
that is
my
exciting.
my little child, who's Yay. So big, and who just, like, like he was at lunch today, or I'm sorry, dinner, and we're chatting, and he mm-hmm. suddenly just starts, like, he got excited about something, and he just suddenly started, like, saying things, and it was all in Spanish, so I was like, I don't know what any of this means, but he was just on a tear, you know.
Oh
just,
my God.
Just because both That's of my fantastic. Kids go to Spanish immersion,
yeah,
and so they're both idea. You know quite adept in both tongues,
nice.
and he just started shouting something out, and my wife was able to kind of like get the gist, but I was
sure.
like, I have no idea. I speak like so many different languages. I understand German, and I understand Russian, and a modicum of Czech and Swedish and Latin, and I don't understand a word of Spanish.
By the way, it was kind of nice speaking Russian with you this weekend.
It was.
Yeah.
Aww. Well, that's adorable.
I don't have many opportunities.
It's true.
I don't know any Russian, so.
But Spanish is... Spanish is important in this country in this day and age.
Yes.
And so we're,
you need to
we're
know
like
Spanish.
Yes.
And Canadian French,
yes. And Chinese. Honestly, if he learned Spanish and Chinese, he would be fucking set.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, the French don't care because they know you're never going to get it right anyway.
Yeah, the French are just going to be disdainful that your pronunciation is wrong and then do it.
I almost smelled that beer. That was really close.
From the other side.
But so I'm super proud that they can speak a language that I don't understand at all.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
So yeah, that's my.
That's like a big proud papa moment, though.
Very. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I am beaming like you wouldn't
That's
believe.
Both awesome.
Your children have made it past the age of 3 now, yes. which means that you can take them through the giant red gateways and receive their name at the temple. That's what the song Toriyance is about. I thought you and I had discussed this at some point, and if we have, you have forgotten. And if we haven't, I have forgotten.
I mean, it's entirely possible you had this conversation with me yesterday. I don't remember. I don't remember things.
Oh, yeah.
My memory is shit.
Yeah. The song that Kyoto Crosswalks play is Toriyance, and it's a folk song. Kind of like a Ring Around the Rosie thing, but it's like a sing-song folk melody about bringing your child to the temple and asking them to let you pass so that you can bring the child in, because they are now old enough that they can be named properly and receive personhood. So it's used for crosswalks because in crosswalks you're also asking someone to let you pass. Which is somewhat similar to the toll booths on the London Bridge playing London Bridge is Falling Down, I think, but very different.
I'm not entirely sure if this is actually happening. Or if I'm having a stroke.
Por que no los both.
Oh, God. My body hurts.
Because that sounded like the most Mad Libs thing that you could possibly utter.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I don't know if there's a thing.
It's difficult for me to be a passenger in my own brain at the best of times, and I had a beer the size of a toddler. So, yeah.
Are you sure this is a thing, James? Are you sure it isn't nothing?
Fuck.
Between the look on Salsa's face and the absolute earnestness on James's. You kept going. You just Oh my god. Oh, bloody hell. Speaking of songs, I went to a Fearless workshop yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was reading about that.
Songwriting one. It Fuck was yes. fantastic. Because there are only a few of us, myself, Becky Schmidt, and some guy named Gary.
All right.
And then Good on you, Gary. Philip, who was teaching the songwriting. And it was basically, we talked about putting music to lyrics and lyrics to music. And it was focused on lyric writing. Gary had music and wanted to be able to write some lyrics for it, but he always is like, ow, whatever. And Becky and I were like, we're here for funsies, so teach us things. We're not here for anything specific, just teach us things. So we ended up writing song lyrics. Becky is an incredible song lyricist just by almost accident. She was given a prompt and she just went with it and was so good. I wrote something cute, but
almost like Becky wrote a whole musical.
Yeah. Well, Jason Kruger actually did a lot of the lyric writing for that. And then Joe did a lot of the music writing for that.
Also a good,
Becky managed the music writing process, but you know, it was like, no, I need it more like this or whatever. But, she's a good lyricist. And I mean, Jason Kruger has been writing lyrics.
Right.
With lyritics, for 10 years now, something like that.
Well, and wasn't it Aiden that had challenged him to like a rap battle, or somebody challenged him to a rap battle, and then was very surprised to find that he is
an extraordinarily
competent. Yeah,
he's an actual rapper past 10 years in a rap band. And incredibly good at freestyling. Yeah.
But that class sounds fucking awesome.
It was great. Well, and we were able to, because he held it more of like a discussion conversation thing. He's like, here are things I know, you know, and we talked. And honestly, songwriting, lyrics, one of the takeaways that I had from that was that it's like writing Ville insults. The punchline goes at the end. That's your chorus. The punchline, the strongest part, goes at the end. And then, so if you were to write like a list insult, such as your sexual history is a lot like that of the Vikings. It's a lot of bad plays, a lot of fumbling, a lot of people going oh damn. That would be, I mean, that listing type style can be really good for writing verses for a song, and things like that. And then we also talked about rhyming schemes, which isn't something we generally use in Ville, but there were a lot of carryovers between joke writing and songwriting that we were able to make connections for. Right?
Yeah.
So it was a really good workshop. I wish more people could have attended. I know it's the season of rehearsals, so.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And that was on
yesterday.
Monday night. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I was having a different adventure. I'll talk about that later.
Okay. But yeah, I did that. And then I also got, a Moby scribe, which I used in my songwriting class, a Moby scribe. It is, basically an electronic notebook.
Oh, right. This is the one that you were talking about.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, and they have something that is similar to it called Remarkable.
Which is such a fucking good name.
It really is.
It's got layers.
Oh, I get it. But Moby's Remarkable costs about $800.
Shit.
Which, as much as I want to save the planet through, like, just not using all of the paper on the planet. $800 is I also want paper money in my life. Right. So but I found there was an Indiegogo that passed my way for this Moby scribe thing.
Nice.
And it was already like built and they were already starting a ship and the thing mm-hmm. hadn't ended yet. So
I
managed to get in on the second batch for this. So it was already tested, ready to go. Like the risk involvement for this particular Indiegogo was like
relatively low. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was $250, which I felt was still a bit, but within my price range, and sure. I'm already in love with the thing.
Yeah.
Because you can build different notebooks within it.
Oh yeah.
So it's not just like it's a stylus, and it's it's just like writing on paper. Like the screen feels papery even. And my favorite part, well, there's a few. So you can build different notebooks. So right now I have a songwriting notebook just because I was at the songwriting workshop and made myself a notebook for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like a work notebook and I have a scratch paper because sometimes I just like to doodle. But you can also, there are different templates for your paper.
Oh.
Quote unquote paper. So you can have lined paper. You can have a checklist. You can have plain. You can have graphing paper.
So fucking good.
You can have music writing paper with just the lines.
Oh, shit.
And you can fill in all of the notes and whatever
else. With the staves
else.
And everything. Yeah.
And you can put each of those templates into a notebook. So in my songwriting notebook, if I got there, which I probably won't, but I can have the lined paper that has like lyrics written out, things like that. And then I can, next page in that notebook could be music score.
That's
right?
Fucking great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I haven't even connected this thing to the internet yet. It's very specifically made so that you're not installing a bunch of different apps. It's not
that's
super heavy or powerful.
Pretty nice.
But, you know, and that's meant to help keep you from getting distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But you can.
Oh, yeah.
You can also download ebooks onto it.
That's real fucking cool.
And read and highlight and mark up your ebook.
Huh.
So, like, for studying purposes, that's great. And then I should be able to connect it to an actual storage area on the internet where I can store my notebooks and be able to access them and stuff. So, I haven't gotten there yet, but it's fantastic and I love it and it's tiny. so James will love it.
Yes.
I'm
already filled with glee.
Yeah, and it's really slick. And, I mean, you can change pen size. You can, you know, there's a bunch of different customizable
It seems really good.
Items for it. You can create your own template paper.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can create your own templates and then whatever that background is, it will be there and you're just writing on top of it. So
nice.
Yeah. It's a pretty slick little thing.
Yeah.
So.
Is there, and this is getting into like the nitty gritty QA, like whenever people present me with a product like this, I'm always like, but does it, when you're writing into it, does it have any kind of like an OCR or something like that in order to convert it to a document simply and easily?
No idea.
Okay.
That
might be like an internet
I think it's
connection thing.
Yeah, I think I have to internet to get that, and I haven't done that yet.
Because like that, it already sounds fucking great. It sounds kind of awesome and exactly like what I actually need. Because I've been burning through notebooks.
I have been, too. Like, I've always been a huge notebook person.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm going to burn through stylus tips like nobody's business. But I already feel like I've saved about 5 trees just in the 2 days that I've had this damn thing. So
does it use a specific pen that comes with it? Does it use... Oh, okay.
And I think the stylus tips are specific, but I don't remember all the technical specifications because I read up on that 4 months ago when I contributed. So it's Moby Scribe by Team USA, I think.
Gotcha.
Is the people, but
yeah. No, that sounds incredibly useful.
Yeah, I dig it. I've got it in my purse. I'll show you at the next break.
Nice. Speaking of tools, I had an adventure on Monday.
Yeah.
The lid of my toilet seat in the bathroom of my apartment broke, and because of the nature of my relationship with the landlord and my tenancy, replacing it was my task. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll install a bidet, and it's going to be great. And I'm just going to fucking do all this stuff. Because, you know, I watched a bidet being installed. I felt competent.
Oh.
Joe is the tushy master.
May not have gone...
Oh, God.
Well.
Do you need Joe to come over?
The first... on the toilet seat, the existing toilet seat had plastic hardware attaching it, and it was one of those, like, soft, cushy ones.
Yeah.
So I wanted to replace it with another soft, cushy one because it's cold in the basement, and that actually warms up pretty quickly and insulates you from the coldness of the potty, where a wooden one or a plastic one fucking doesn't. So I bought one of those, and then I bought a bidet, and I started to take the old, broken plastic hardware one off of there, and some of them have... you know, easy ways to do that. This one doesn't. You turn the little plastic nut off of the wooden, off of the metal lug. First side, tools required, a pair of channel locks, channel lock pliers. Done. Huh. Right. Other side, tools required, channel lock pliers, crescent wrench, a flat blade screwdriver,
God.
A Dremel.
Oh, Jesus.
A hacksaw.
What did you do?
I went in there and I turned the plastic nut and it wasn't moving. So I gave it a little elbow grease and fucking turned it hard. And at one point, Bryn Berryhill, friend of the podcast, was turning, like counter turning the toilet seat. The broken toilet seat against the rotation of the pliers in order to turn the nut on the lug so that it would rotate faster.
Oh my God.
Because it just wasn't moving. And then placing my phone in selfie mode below the operation at hand, I noticed that as I was turning the seat and gripping the nut on the lug, that the seat was turning, but the nut and the lug were not.
Oh, so it was just twisting off, yeah.
So, no.
No.
It wasn't. It was just twisting freely in the plastic hardware.
Oh, okay.
Of the seat. So
open the plastic...
It doesn't open. I had to break the plastic hardware, rip it off, and then inside was a carriage bolt, which has a smooth, round... metal head with no grippable edges. So
it's not a standard seat.
Your story with the gate was thinking. More believable.
So I am trying to grip the head of this thing with the pliers, one pliers, and like get another, and it's not going. And I've rounded off the plastic nut that's on the lug, and it's just everything sucks and is terrible forever. So, at some point, I try to use the hacksaw, get that in on the under there. There isn't enough room to really satisfactorily saw the head off of this thing. So, I get the Dremel tool with a cutting wheel, and I notch a channel into the surface, and I grab the flat blade screwdriver and jam that into the channel that I've cut and then try to wrench against it. But no matter how hard I grip the flat blade screwdriver, it is turning in my hand. It's not... Oh, I can't get enough purchase on it. So I get another crescent wrench and latch it onto that in order to give myself leverage against it, brace it against my arm, holding the wrench and the screwdriver in the slot that I've created with the Dremel tool, and then grab the channel locks, these giant fucking plumbing channel locks, grab the plastic nut, and then it turns. Finally. This is now, I want to say, an hour and a half after I started taking this goddamn seat off. And so then I got that done, and I was like, well, nothing's going to be harder than that. Time to install a bidet. The installation of the bidet itself was really easy. Got everything done up to the point where I installed the T-junction for the water line and discovered that there is not enough clearance from the water output coming out of the wall and the tank. There's not enough clearance between them to fit the T-junction and the flex hose to supply the tank. I can fit the supply line from the output or I can fit the T junction, but not both. Because it's an old toilet, and they fucking never knew that people were going to want butt squirters, so they didn't accommodate the distance between the tank and the output.
This is the part that seems suspect to
so,
me.
So I wrench that off, and I start turning the water line back on, but the pump turns freely.
Yes, and it which is the problem that I was having.
The nut, and then it vomits what is remaining, because I emptied the tank before I started any of this shit, but there's still like a skim of water along the bottom, and it just like...
Remember when I had the bucket under mine, just in case?
Right, there's not room, really, for a proper bucket, so I threw a plastic cup away later, is what happened. And a towel, because, timing. So, I had a plastic Tupperware under.
Those can be washed, right?
Yes, okay. I do. But, I had a blue tab in there, and it stained the plastic. So, the Tupperware that I had under there filled up too quickly, and I had to find something to replace it. Yeah.
Okay.
But honestly, that everything from that second lug after that, it was downhill. I was like, oh, there's water everywhere. I can fucking fix that. I don't even need all of these half dozen tools to fix that shit. I just need a towel that I'm willing to part with. So I did. And then extracted the little bidet thing. I have somebody that I'm going to give it to because I can't ship it back now that it's touched my body, I'm pretty sure. So, I just removed that, tightened down the seat, and I have a new toilet seat, and it's quite comfortable, and I have a bidet and someone that I'm going to give it to because I know that they will appreciate an unused but formerly attached bidet.
So no bidet for you?
Not down there.
Was it the tushy or was it a different one?
It was a different one.
Okay.
And it had metal hardware, but when I was reattaching the flex hose to the pump, I realized that there was only enough room for the flex hose. Unless I get like some angled shit in there and all kinds of crazy business to...
I'm having a hard time visualizing this setup. So
looking at my hand...
Okay, this isn't going to make good audio.
No, it's visual jokes on an audio podcast.
Yeah, so maybe we should set this aside.
Sure. The distance of my thumb is the space between the output and the tank. That's it. That's all. And it is immediately below, so it will interfere with the T-section.
So there's no space, like, down or to the side?
Side. If I got something angled... I could maybe...
No, see, the flex hose, like, because flex hose is, by definition, flex, which is where I'm having a problem trying to figure out how that's not
fitting. It's a metallic flex hose, and there is just enough room from the output on the wall to attach it and screw it in. Afterward, there is more room, but there is just barely enough room to turn the end of the flex.
I'm not going to be able to visualize it.
Okay.
I don't think any of this is helping our listeners in any way, shape, or form whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to trust you because I can't. There's no way.
Yeah. And then I went up and I talked to my landlord about it. And I was like, I tried to do this thing. And he was like, oh, there's not enough room to do that. And I was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. Oh, man. And it's not even a situation where I could have saved myself a lot of time and misery, because the bulk of the time and the misery was on something that could, ostensibly, could be done and should and had to be done.
Right.
The new toilet seat has metal hardware. The new toilet seat has metal hardware, and the posts turn out. So even if the lug is motherfucking stuck, I can just use a wrench and it will come loose from the toilet seat.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, and he was like, oh, yeah, my toilet seat has a set of clips. You just turn them, and then the whole thing pops off for cleaning. And I was like, shut up. Right the fuck up. Just shut up. Your face is open, and you should fix that.
You should see to that.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, so I took the morning off of work because I hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, laying on a bathroom floor, tucked into a little corner, while toilet water spills all over everything is really...
I mean, that's not what I did with my Sunday,
Not a great way to spend a Monday.
Do you know what I did do with my Sunday?
What did you do with your Sunday?
I saw Midsummer Night's Dream by Black Ensemble Players.
Yes, I am so desperate to see this.
It is so good. It's playing next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go see it.
Yes.
And when I say have to, I mean you must.
Agreed.
This is not a, you really should. You have to go see this. It is, as Duck said, it is the blackest Shakespeare you've ever seen. And it is so connectable and so relatable. Even the fae portions of it are just like, oh, no, that's super real.
Rad.
Like, which... I've never actively connected with those portions before.
Hmm.
So it was... I've said it before, but it is the best Midsummer Night's Dream I have seen.
Yeah. Just seeing the photos in my friends' feeds, I have been fucking excited.
It justice. It is so good.
Mm.
Like, you're looking at the photos, I'm like, oh, that looks cool. But no, the acting is sensational. Mm-hmm. The things that they interweave and do with it is incredible.
Good.
The way that they handle certain things, it's so good.
I need to see that and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's my project for this weekend.
This weekend you're going to go see all the things?
Figure that out, yeah.
Excellent. Because, it's like, I don't know how to encourage people to go see this more than... It is one of the best things I've seen for, like, Midsummer. It is the best Midsummer Night's Dream I've seen. It's some of the best Shakespeare I've seen.
Hmm.
and I saw King Lear at the Guthrie, which was real fucking good.
Hmm.
I cannot recommend this enough. Midsummer Night's Dream by Black Ensemble Players.
Mm-hmm.
It's in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Hmong Library, which is cool.
Oh, that
it's
is.
In a downstairs basement-y area.
Ooh.
So, like, it's it's underground.
All right. All right. Everybody gets one.
Whatever, you took like a dozen on your way in the door. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
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 And then I also get one. Way to share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In today's economy, you should get at least 73% of the one that I get. It's been a real rough fucking couple of weeks, huh?
I'm having a real good time at work, and I feel like I'm getting productive and getting things done, but it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play?
I actually moved where my desk is today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I, one of the groups in my area moved out.
Oh.
And I've been coveting his little whiteboard space. So, like, I gave it a day, and then I went, nope, I'm going over there. So I just took over this space, and it feels right.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're in a space, and you're like, oh, God, this is just awkward. It's not, it doesn't feel like me. It feels right.
Yeah.
And I love it. So.
I love a space with good, like, whiteboard access.
Yeah. And then I put all of my projects on the whiteboard, and I was like, okay, so I have exactly, like, and when I say put them all on the whiteboard, I mean, like, all the things I need to follow up on and steps and whatever, and where I'm at with things. And I put all of these up in kind of brain mappy, cloudy type things,
because
that's how I vomit my brain onto things. And then, and this whiteboard is as tall as me, and as wide as I am tall.
Oh.
Like, when I say I got a whiteboard, I got a motherfucking whiteboard.
Wow, like a classroom whiteboard.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have, and so I'm like, so I just put my brain onto this whiteboard, and I have exactly 1 square foot of whiteboard space left. Shit.
I've expressed envy many times. I am extremely envious of your current whiteboard arrangement.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I bought a series of like 12 whiteboard markers in an array of colors in order to do art and things like that. My current whiteboard, it's the door to my coat rack and is so small and not worth bringing art markers in. I have a red one and a blue one, and I use it for tracking location numbers and computer names.
Oh.
And that is it.
Oh, that's sad.
Ugh. It's like edging.
Well, fuck. And I mean, I one of the reasons why I've been going through so many notebooks is because I didn't have a proper whiteboard
setup. Sure.
So I'm basically whiteboarding on my notebooks, but then changing that all the time. Now that I have a whiteboard where I can just wipe things off of it, I can reuse the same thing. So I feel like I have saved, like, I literally think I've saved 5 trees in the past 2 days just with these two changes in my life. But yeah, so, and it's a nice little space, and people are like, good job on that real estate. And I'm like,
yeah,
I took it because I get here before everybody else.
Well, there is that.
So I took it.
Mostly for the massages, but
Oh, God, those are great. I switched my massages to Friday lunchtime. So now, like, I work the morning at the office, and then during my lunch, I go get a massage, and then I spend the rest of the day working from home.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It's pretty fucking swank.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, you've been working so hard, Salsa.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Yay!
I'm also full of meats and cheeses.
That one's on you.
I'm happy about it.
I'm ready to go whenever you are, Salsa.
And we're back. I'm Salsa. Oh, fuck.
Okay, James wasn't ready, so...
mouth full of meats and cheeses. I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Yep.
Yup.
This makes me happy whenever... This is why having the button is such the best job in the world.
So did you go back as far as Giggity?
We'll find out.
Oh, son of a bitch. Don't make me listen to this shit. I mean, I appreciate you, listeners. I'm bad at podcasting.
Anyway.
But it's my podcast.
But you're
so
good
let's
at other
do
things.
It, bitches.
Yeah. Like Quake?
So we spent a bit of time in the break doing some bitching. So now to offset that, let's give some shout outs.
Oh, I should be nice now. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
I sometimes need a signal. Signal.
Cigarette?
Oh, I didn't do that during the break. God damn it. All right. Well, whatever.
Soon.
Who's got a shout out?
I have.
James.
Yeah.
What's your shout out?
A shout out to my comedy partner, Kyle, who was the one to submit our names for another Renaissance Festival. And we got to have like an in-car adventure. We drove together for about an hour and a half total each day. It was pleasant. Like, spending that time together was good as friends and as comedy partners. I appreciated getting to have a weekend. Even if things could have worked out better for the festival, again, we know none of that is their fault, and I really enjoyed the experience.
Nice.
So, yeah, shout out to him. Thank you.
Yay!
Yeah.
I had all that time to think about a shout out, but you were being so nice and sincere and kind. I got distracted.
The thing is I know kind of what I want my shout out to be, but I don't know how to
phrase it.
Yeah, how to
push it together yet?
Contain it into like one thing.
Yeah.
Like what to encapsulate it in.
I have a shout out that comes with a story.
Okay.
I read a news article about mothers in college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people have pieced together, but maybe you're newer. I was a mother in college. I was on welfare, going to college, and I got a lot of shit for it. There's all sorts of awful, awful stories about that period of time. In this news article, it talked about how only 8% of mothers going to college will obtain an associate's or bachelor's within 6 years.
Wow.
8%. And the big thing behind that is that you don't have support. Like, you are expected to keep up with the rest of your classmates who are, you know, like 19.
Drunken co-eds.
Yeah. And there are other factors that you have to think about when you are going to college as a parent. Like, childcare would be a huge one.
Sure.
And then just, like, trying to keep up with attendance when you have to be sick, not just for yourself, like the 19-year-olds, but
right.
for your child and for your childcare provider.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You're not sick for two. You're sick for three in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the one. And then, heaven forbid something should happen and you get pulled out of class or whatever. And then the article goes on to talk about, you know, how you prioritize. And it's like, obviously, you're going to put family first. You should put family first.
Yeah.
But if we want to help people get through college, we need to help them be able to put that family aspect first. So
sure.
There are colleges that are starting to provide daycare.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's real smart and real good. And other like assistance type things within the college itself, as opposed to expecting like state to assist or, you know, other subsidiary programs to be able to assist. Mm-hmm. There are some colleges that are starting to put that forward themselves. And I think that's
amazing.
Absolutely incredible, because I barely passed college. Like, I was on the list for if I got one more absence, I would be out the door.
Fuck.
Because I had the most absences, because sure. guess what? Sick for three people.
Had a fucking kid.
I graduated with a 3.93.
Wow.
Barely graduated because of the attendance issue, because of my child, right? Because of being a single parent. Yeah. So the only reason I was able to get through school is because of the people that helped watch Jessa when I was going to school. And that would be people like, Kayla Berry and, there's a whole list of people that I have.
Sure.
The two most primary people were Kayla Berry and my brother Steve.
Uh-huh.
And if it were not for them, I would not have graduated college. I would not have gotten a 2-year tech degree in programming, and I would not be where I am now. So, my shout out is for that.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, guys. Beat that, salsa.
No.
Good answer.
I'm fucking. That's real good.
Like I said, I'm having a hard time trying to encapsulate this, but I'll give it a go.
Mm.
I am giving my shout out to the spirit of we're going to entertain people no matter what.
Sure.
Yes.
It's that like
relentless enthusiasm.
Determination.
Exactly. Like whether it's raining or you're not feeling well or you're injured or whatever it, just not feeling it or tired or haven't had coffee or your allergies are a problem. Just that, like, we need, there are people here who paid money to be here, and it behooves us to not let them down.
Sure.
And this stems clearly from this last weekend at the at the Renaissance Festival, where it drizzled all day, and the people that were there, the people that were there,
you don't say,
were busting their butt to keep the people that came entertained.
Yeah,
they did every, you know, like I said, my first show I did to three people. I could really easily have said, I'm not doing that. But no, there was people there. Right. They wanted to be entertained. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
They were, you know.
You gave them a entertainment enough for a crowd of 100.
Because, but
for those three people.
Because that's what they came for. And, you know, the Vikings over on the other side of the thing, that like they had planned a bunch of stuff that they just simply could not do because the ground in front of them was literally
they tried to go to war with the pirates, and they discovered that there was the ground was just
it was standing water in front of,
because nobody provided lawn chairs.
It was a mess. But so they were like, okay, and they changed what they were going to do, and they still they were out there, they were you know,
they were great,
they wandered around, they were drilling and they were yelling and they were doing their thing, you know. It wasn't what they wanted to do, but they adapted.
They were a force to be reckoned with,
you know. And to the seven people that were there, they were, that's what they were there to do, and that's what they were there for. You know, on Sunday I knew for a fact I wasn't going to do any shows on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was going to rain all day. There's no way I'm doing my shows in the rain. I'm a lightning rod. It was too windy for fire.
Right.
And my sword's rust. And I can't swallow a rusty sword.
No
way I was going to do my shows in the rain. But I still fucking showed up.
Yep.
And then they canceled it, so it became moot.
Case for us.
But
yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was going to do my best. And that's what I love about performing, not just Renaissance festivals, but all sorts of different, you know, performance aspects, is that, like, drive that everybody has to go, we're gonna give everybody a good show. What we personally are feeling or experiencing is less important than giving the audience everything we've got.
Well, and it's one of those reasons when people are like, wow, you can't give 110%. I'm like, no, but you can give way more than any person is reasonably expected to give at 100%.
Yeah.
Over a series of days, and always give your best show.
I love that. Yeah. It makes me super proud. And it also, you know, keeps me humble, and it keeps me moving. You know, it doesn't let me sit on my laurels. I can never sit down and go, well, I'm just not gonna.
Yeah.
Because you look around, you go, no, I'm.
One, laurels, not that comfortable. Hmm. Two, the first lug of replacing your laurels is pretty easy. The second one requires a half a dozen tools.
And we're moving on to a fast five now.
All right, fast five.
Damn you. Today's fast five comes to us from Mav.
Oh, Mav.
Yay, Mav.
Yay.
Yes.
Mav, you should get Mud to write.
Yeah, everybody send Mud some fucking messages. Shit.
Just every week we're gonna find somebody else. We're just gonna pick up and be like, everybody message this person.
Shit.
That's no.
I might have superpowers. What am I gonna do?
No, with great power comes with great responsibility, and I feel like this is one we need to tread lightly with.
Yeah, but still get Mud to send a message. Like, this is important.
For those that do not know how this works, you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five choices. We need to make these choices. Oh, we do not know what they mean. It's only after we open the second email and we find out the context of these choices that we find out if we like our answer or if we have made terrible, terrible life decisions.
Who is right?
Sneak in,
And who is dead?
Hint, the answer is yes, we have.
Yeah, okay.
Made terrible, terrible life decisions.
Ha!
So, Mav starts out by saying... Oh, it seems to be that time again. Good it thing sure I is. Have a few of these built up.
Oh.
I had a couple of pretty boring days at work, so I have a small stockpile of these.
Ooh. Ooh. Did he send them all in at once, or is he just rationing them out?
This is like we ration them.
So
I think the ones previously he sent were the ones because I do not have any further ones. Of these. So
you know you can send more than one at a time, you guys. I mean, you send one at a time, but you don't have to like send one a week. Like you can send a bunch of them.
I mean, do whatever, just send them.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to wait on them, is what I'm saying. No, like, if you've got them, send them.
Our salsa will figure it out.
Yes.
Anyway, this is Mav again, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you know the drill. Theme, theme, direction, purpose, none. Let's do this.
All right.
Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
Gray Poupon.
Okay.
Or boob licky?
How is it spelled?
B-O-O-B.
All right.
L-I-C-K-Y.
Boob licky.
Boob licky.
Huh.
I was hoping you knew what that meant, because I don't...
I mean, I know what it means to me.
I know what it means to me, but...
I assume I know what it means to...
Did you have a date like that?
Yes.
Oh.
A few of them, actually. Huh? They're quite nice.
Good. Yeah.
Mm.
I'm going with Grey Poupon?
I'm going with Boob Licky. I don't know. I don't... What? Because Boob Licky.
Grey Poupon is so much more fun to say.
It is fun to say, but Boob Licky.
I mean, as far as funness to say... I would say Boob Licky gets the title belt there, but...
No, not for me.
But, see, Grey Poupon had the moment in Wayne's World.
Right.
But, I still have to go with Boob Licky.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something about Boob Licky. It's just...
Oh, I know what it is.
You know, it's nice to be able to be on either end of that. Bisexual rules!
Woo.
Anyway... God damn.
Question number two.
Okay.
Grizzly Adams.
All right.
Or Castaway.
Oh, God damn it. This is about my beard, isn't it? Fucking A.
Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, I'm going Grizzly Adams.
I take very good care of it. I'm going to say Grizzly Adams. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Got grizzlies all around.
It's going to be something completely different, but this is what I choose.
I don't care. I like that one. Question number three.
Yeah.
Chapter.
Oh.
Or movie.
Hmm.
Why don't movies have chapters?
DVDs have chapters.
Oh, well, we used to have like intermissions and stuff at the actual movies.
Why does that not?
I fucking wish it did.
Like Endgame was like a gazillion hours long, and I didn't pee through any of it. But I know a lot of people that felt the need, and I'm like,
I did.
In intermission, we used to have those in movies, and now we don't.
Well, and
I had to like ninja leap over the seats. There were. Two and only two blank seats in a diagonal, and I had to like fucking parkour hop over in order to not get in to the screen view of the people who were next to us, and then make a mad dash for the exit into the bathroom, do the thing, and then reverse that process in order to sit back down. I missed part of that movie.
When I was living in Switzerland, the movie theater I went to just stuck intermissions in.
Movies were not made with
intermissions at this point, but they were just like, we're going to put a fucking intermission in the halfway point.
Lawrence of Arabia has
because a we sell more concessions that way.
Sure. Oh, that makes sense.
That's a good idea.
The movie theater to put a fucking intermission in, because what do? You go to the bathroom, you buy some more popcorn.
Yeah.
You go buy some,
your beverage.
You go buy some more, you know, junior mints. You spend money at the concession stand. That's what can. Let's all go to the lobby and have ourselves a snack.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for it.
It baffles me that movie theaters are not lobbying for intermissions.
I get this joke.
It was unintentional, and I know that, but I understand.
Oh, I got it. I got it. I see it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway.
I'm going to chapter.
I'm going to say movie, because if it is DVD-based, I watch the entire thing. I don't, like, go by chapters or start at a specific... Like, I watch the credits and the intros and the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't skip screen things, like title screens or anything like that. I'm just like, yeah, let's just watch us a movie.
In order to go to sleep, I've been putting on Mystery Science Theater for a long time. I love watching that show and falling asleep to it.
I can't fall asleep to it.
Well, for me, because I used to stay up late trying to catch it, and I tried my hardest to stay awake, but I would fall asleep.
Yeah.
And now it's just like having old friends there, and I just feel so comfortable and at home. I find it a lot easier to fall asleep to that than listening to an audiobook. I would say I've been putting on movies to fall asleep.
My wife puts on Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, shit.
That puts us right the fuck out.
Oh, wow.
I have Google play me the sounds of crashing waves.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's part of my... Mm-hmm. I set up a bedtime routine with my Google.
My favorite thing
about... It turns off my lights. It asks me what time I want the alarm set for. Mm. It tells me what the weather's going to be like tomorrow and what my first thing is. And then says good night. And then crashing waves for the next hour.
That's a fucking good plan. I just have a routine for when I wake up.
I also have a wake-up routine.
Oh, well, that's pretty smart. This is why you're a project manager and I'm a workaday schlub.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, what things do I want and in which order?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. You got me there.
Yeah.
Yep. So, no, my favorite thing about having Mystery Science Theater on, though, is that sometimes when I wake up and I have a partner there, like especially Bryn, when she's like snuggled up and we change how we're arranged, sometimes we'll do that, and just as we're drifting back off, we'll catch a riff or like one of the host segments or something like that and just start laughing and then like drift off to sleep laughing and happy. It's pretty good.
I cannot. Yeah. My brain doesn't let me sleep when there's anything with a plot.
Gotcha. I have also watched those movies so
it doesn't matter.
Many times.
It doesn't matter. My ADD part of my brain will not let me.
Huh. This might be like a sunscreen thing.
Mine's not an ADD thing. Exactly. Mine is a completionist thing.
Mm. Oh.
And so, yeah, mine's a more executive completionist, but I have the same problem.
Gotcha.
Like, if I'm starting something, I need to finish it.
I've watched all of them awake and fallen asleep to, I think, every episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Antiques Roadshow is good for this. British Bake Off works for this because they don't have a plot line. It's just kind of the same sort of thing ad nauseum repetitive, and so my brain can kind of go, okay, this is something I don't
have. You tried the Sleep With Me podcast?
No.
I mean, like, give that a shot. I talked about it on a much earlier episode of this show.
I'm sure you did. I don't listen to you.
I know, honey. I'm aware. But no, this guy has a voice that magically puts people to sleep, so instead of being real defensive and shitty about it, he decided to capitalize on it, and he makes a podcast where he, like, opens a pack of specialty Gloom, the card game, and then, like,
I would never fall asleep every card.
I mean, try it. Try it. If it keeps you awake.
I would, like, be awake through the whole of that. Are you
try
kidding?
It. The thing is, I try to stay awake and fall the fuck asleep. No. And this is finally a piece of media where I don't feel even the slightest bit guilty about that.
Yeah. It's an Antiques Roadshow for me. Because sure. I don't care about it.
Yeah.
At all.
This trunk would have been worth $100,000. But
nope, I still wouldn't be able to fall asleep. That's the problem.
And repainted,
if
and
I
so it is now,
started,
it is now worth just
if,
over
$1,000. If I started and, the episode, I would have to finish it. Mm-hmm. I would have to finish it.
Question number four.
Yes.
James. Or Thor.
Or Thor.
I'm
which one has let themselves go? More?
I was about to say.
What?
Spoilers?
It's fine.
Which Thor are you
thinking? I'm going to say
both. If you know,
both.
You know. If you don't, you don't.
I'm going to say both.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
I know.
Also, what's going on?
Because nothing. I think the context is who is worthy.
Oh.
Clearly not James. I mean, you. Worthy of aww. Derision?
Yeah.
And therefore derisious?
God damn it.
Thank you. I'm going to have to go with Thor, because I know that people, you know, I have a good friend group, but I feel like a lot more people like Thor. There's a much larger...
They like the idea
fan
of
base.
Thor.
I mean, he is pretty yummy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Right. We're on the same page.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Kay.
Okay. Nothing. Don't worry about it.
We'll tell you when you're older.
I'll draw it on a bar napkin for you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But even so, yes.
Yeah.
I would still
Thor.
Agree with that.
Yeah. Mm. I mostly because of it, like, weirdly, Adventures in Babysitting. Did either of you see this movie?
No.
So, in Adventures in Babysitting, it's one of those, like, catastrophe movies where someone is put in charge of kids and then, like, every fucking thing goes wrong. Like so
Kindergarten
it's a
Cop?
Sort of like that. But it's more of a cross between Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and...
Oh, my God. Haven't seen
Home Alone.
In years.
So, this like I want to say 10-year-old girl is obsessed with Thor comics, and she finds herself scaling the outside of an office building, and then the janitor saves her, and he looks exactly like her Thor comics,
huh.
And so she's. Smitten? She's like, she's just sure that he's actually Thor, like really actually Thor. No, it's a wonderful moment. So ever since I was young, like Thor as a comic book hero has been a big deal. So I'm going to go with Thor. I've never been a big deal in comic books. Yet.
Question number five.
Also, I'm going James.
Oh, thank you.
For reasons.
Vibrant,
mm-hmm.
Or pastel?
Vibrant. I'm a jewel tones person. I like more human color. Mm-hmm. Jewel tones tend to be a bit more muted, but I would still say vibrant over pastel. Pastel is hard for me. I can't. Like, there are icy pastels. Those are kind of nice. Like, you get the sharp pastels.
Pastels are for Easter candy and flowers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sure. But, like, everything else is... Like, I'm such a jewel tone person.
To me, pastels are after-dinner mints.
You're an after-dinner... Whoa.
I mean, did you have a date like that once?
Not that I remember.
Not that I remember either.
Oh, but salsa.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi, salsa. So, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to go vibrant for two reasons.
Well played.
The first is the colors of the three goddesses in Zelda. Super nerd. Second, other super nerd. Vibrant reminds me of Vibram finger toe shoes.
Yeah. I was going to go
now I'm reconsidering.
I wore them in Hawaii, and they were just perfect for hiking adventures.
I knew I didn't like you.
I also knew that you didn't like me. Why is that a question? Vibrant.
Yeah. I did wear toe socks, mm-hmm. but the toe shoes, I just, nope.
What do you think toe socks are for?
God damn it.
For people who hate themselves.
Oh.
No.
They're super adorable.
They're pretty fucking cute.
There's stuff between your toes. Is...
I know, honey.
I'm going to go vibrant because I can see them better.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
Are we all going vibrant but for different reasons?
I believe that's fantastic. The case.
We open up our second email and we discover that question number one is Grey Poupon or Bublicky. Well, I think we just answered this question.
Go on.
Literally.
Oh.
Which one of these made you giggle more when asked this question?
Bublicky.
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 All right.
Bonus question, why?
Bublicky.
Grey Poupon.
I mean, it has the word poop in it, and...
I did think about that, but...
And a verb.
See, I don't... Yeah. I just...
It's got a verb and a location, so...
Whenever I think of those old commercials, they just... The ridiculousness of them make me giggle.
Fair. Yeah.
Whereas Bublicky just makes me go... Yeah.
I just
fond
like the...
early 90s
the
memories.
Word Bublicky. Because you got boo and blicky.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like that Bublicky. Now it's which words are it?
I'm going with Bublicky.
I like Bublicky.
Like I like boobs and I like licking them, but it doesn't make.
But
me
I'm looking
giggle.
At the word itself because you can you can break it apart in different ways, and that's what makes me giggle. Bublicky. What? It's
changing the emphasis on it is only making me laugh more.
Exactly.
I've got to go
point.
With it. Yeah.
That's my point. That's right. My point exactly.
Fuck.
Boo.
I just
blicky.
It just it doesn't Boop. It doesn't
Licky.
Do anything for me. I apparently don't have that sense of humor.
No, that's fine.
Please. Whereas
Bublicky.
Whereas thinking, just like visualizing those old commercials with the fucking
the rich guy,
stupid posh guy in the car.
Do you have any great?
But of course, you know, just, like that. Christ. That reduces me to fits of giggles.
Yeah.
So.
Mm.
Also, you get to pretend to be all posh, Grey Poupon.
I only ever pretended to be one of the characters from Wayne's World, rolling down the window. Pardon me. Do you have any? Grey Poupon?
Oh, I always went super posh.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any Grey Poupon?
I mean, it's Poupon. Good. But it's no Wayne's World. Yeah.
Poupon. All right, question number two.
Number two.
Grizzly Adams or Castaway?
Okay.
Yup.
God damn it.
The time has come to bust away on retirement. You have the option of moving to one of these two places at no cost for the remainder of your days. Do you go live in the mountains like Grizzly Adams or find a secluded beach somewhere like in Castaway?
Well, I'm going to have to switch to Castaway.
Yes! Wilson can come too.
Aw.
I would have to switch to Castaway.
Sticking with Grizzly Adams.
Mountains... are lovely, but they have no air. Mm-hmm.
They have snow.
And that's the other thing, is that I get cold so easy.
Beaches are the worst.
Beaches are good.
Fucking
beaches are especially if it has a tiki bar.
Beach better have my money.
Especially if it has a doctor tiki bar.
This is a really difficult choice for me, but I
need to watch that.
Having,
tiki also, I love water.
Having spent time around volcanic mountains and also on the beaches of Hawaii, I enjoyed camping at the mountains more, and the rainwater, the collected rainwater, was sweet and beautiful. Mm. And I think I would enjoy hunting more than fishing. Fishing is really good, but there's just something about the mechanic of hunting that to me is more satisfying. I think I'd have to go Grizzly Adams. surprising probably no one.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think, yeah, also...
Also snow. I wouldn't
I prefer snow to sunny beaches, and I used to live in Switzerland.
Fair. Well, there's that.
Bring on the mountains.
Yeah. Nope. I'm out. I don't like skiing. I don't like mountain climbing. I don't like...
Oh, shit.
I like hiking, but not like steep hiking. And I'm like...
Not for your life.
I'm like, yeah, I'm more of like a 30-degree incline hiking kind of person. Like,
y'all are making me real nostalgic.
I like my I like my 30 degrees to be the temperature and my 50 to 60 degrees to be the steepness.
Nope, other way around.
Not the other way around.
Other way around.
That is amazing, and I am remembering
Yeah.
That's...
I like my temperatures in the 30s and my gradients in the 60s.
Pow. You guys have it wrong. You have it all wrong.
I'm fine with this. That's a good ass question, though.
No,
in fact, I'll go 2070 if I can.
You want your temperatures in the 20s and your gradients in the 70s?
No.
I'm even
the other way around. I give up. I hate everybody.
Question number three.
How is that different?
Chapter or movie?
More.
Oh. Gotcha.
Chapter or movie. Would you rather never get to read the last chapter of every book you read?
Oh, nope.
Shit.
Or never get to see the last 20 minutes of every movie you watch ever again?
Ass.
How much of that last 20 minutes is the credits?
I read way more books than I watch movies, so I'm going to go with movie because it will be less of an impact on my life.
I can't any of that. I again, with the executive completionist, I can't. My I'm just never getting stories again is basically what it comes down to.
I watch a couple movies a year in the theater and then...
So wait, it was the last book of a series or the last chapter of a book?
The last chapter of every book. Kay. Or the last 20 minutes of every movie.
Well, relating back to what I said earlier, I think I've made my choice because I would prefer to fall asleep to a movie than to an audiobook. So
you're just going
to
fall asleep to every movie?
I mean, my mom used to. She would like wake up during the credits like, oh, what happened? The nice guy. Was he the bad guy? What? Oh, gosh. I'll have to watch the rest another time. You're just going to fall asleep. No. Well, no. That's mean. No, I think I'll choose... I would rather miss the last 20 minutes of a movie.
Yep. That would have a significantly less impact on life.
That's a hard choice, though.
Is the last chapter an epilogue? Because I might be able to get a completion. Yeah.
It's Dune, it's just a reference library for all the terms they used.
Oh, cool.
So there's that. Yeah. So, next.
Yeah.
Question number four, James or Thor.
All right.
In a match of muscles, we know the obvious winner.
Right.
But let's talk about that beard for a second.
There it is.
Whose beard would you rather get into a fight with?
Oh, shit.
The beard of Thor or that beard of James?
The beard of James, because I'm pretty sure even Thor's beard can kick my ass. And I'm pretty sure James's beard has all of that, like, James niceness ooze shit.
Yeah.
Like, in it.
Well, James's beard is green.
I think it would have a hard time.
So.
Oh, God.
I get this joke. Yeah, I'll give you a high five on
that. I would rather fight the beard on James's face than fight Bryn. I'll tell you that much. Buddy. She was walking around the house today talking about her muscles. I'm like,
if I recall correctly, in the comic books, Thor just has a handlebar mustache and not a beard, right?
I believe he's clean-shaven in the comics.
In which case, I would much rather go up against the non-existent Thor beard. Because it's a lot easier to beat something that isn't there.
Oh, but then it's a mystery. Maybe it's an invisible.
I'm still pretty sure that even Thor's non-existent beard would be more likely to beat me up than James's beard of kindness.
Well, yeah, but James's beard of kindness just makes you feel guilty. And
I know, I would feel bad being in a fight with James's beard. I
feel like slashing my wrists right now.
I feel like if
just
looking at him.
Messed up.
Real messed up. Right.
No.
Damn.
I like to think that my beard is cuddly rather than
fearsome. Bryn
than
is pretty fearsome. Cuddly, yeah.
She is. True. She's an Olympic level cuddler.
Don't you like condition your beard and shit too?
I do.
You put stuff
brush
in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number five.
I'm going to stick with my beard.
Yeah.
Question number five, vibrant or pastel?
Okay.
Vibrant.
When looking at art, God damn it.
Oh, salsa, honey.
Which catches your attention more? Art with more powerful, vibrant colors, or art with a softer and more peaceful pastel feel? Wow, that was delightfully insensitive. My sincerest apologies to any who may have taken offense at this question and feel pastels are not the softer, more peaceful colors within the spectrum. PSA, these questions and colors are in no way reflect those of A1 Podcast, the A1 Podcast subsidiaries, or related associates. Any salsas depicted in this podcast are fictional, and any reference to such are completely and coincidentally colorblind. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Oh my god, that's delightful.
So I already forgot where we were at with the vibrant
art.
Or
which catches, right. Yes. Vibrant, which catches your eye
vibrant,
more.
Vibrant.
Honestly, vibrant. One of my favorite artists is Monet.
Oh yeah,
and that catches my eye real good.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a lot of the subtle play within in Monet's work. So I might actually need to switch to pastel, even though I'm not
sure
pastel. Person.
No, that makes sense, but like
In artwork, and maybe that's because I live my life in vibrance, so like artwork in pastels catches me more, but I do like a lot more of those toned down pastel-y type things in art.
What would Dali be?
I think Dali would be vibrant.
I would say vibrant.
Okay. What would Bosch be?
Hieronymus Bosch would definitely be, I think, vibrant.
In that case, I'm going with vibrant.
Okay. Yeah. Because he uses, like, hard edges. He doesn't use thick lines, but he uses hard edges.
Well, it's hard, but color-wise.
Yeah. The color is
I'm not noticeable. Talking edges, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going with vibrant.
Sure. I think I'm going to go with vibrant because when it comes to my own photography, I have started looking for vibrant color or... using the shutter speeds and things like that in order to provide a darker, more jewel-toned photo. And those are preferable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
For me, at least.
All right.
So, vibrant. Thank you, Mav.
We wrap this up by saying that will do for me for this week, children. Some words of wisdom before I leave you. If at first you don't succeed, just ask Aunt Becky. I'm sure she has a few connections that can help you out. Thank you so much to Mav for that Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices. The second one, repeat those choices and then give us the context. Let's give a really quick moment because we're running pretty long at the moment. Let's plugs.
So this weekend is the closing weekend for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, produced by Fearless Comedy Productions. I swear to motherfucking God. Okay. produced by Fearless Comedy Productions at the Mounds Theater. I believe shows are 7:30, and I think they might have a Sunday matinee, but I don't remember for sure. So go to Mounds Theater. Check that out. It's real good. Directed by one of my favorite people, Dan Patton. And the props are okay too. So yeah, you're welcome, James. And then also this weekend, go see Midsummer Night's Dream by Black Ensemble Players, happening at the Hmong Library in St. Paul. Look up Black Ensemble Players for tickets to that. And then next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday is Vilification Tennis, the musical. The musical, Schoolhouse Rocks. I am so goddamn excited for this. I cannot even begin to describe it.
Mm.
This is the one show that we rehearse. So see that. I think that's all I've got for a bit.
Please tell me there's a parody of I'm a Bill.
I will tell you about this afterwards.
Okay, James.
Nothing for a little bit.
Okay, in two and a half weeks from now, on the June 8th, Saturday, June 8th, Saturday only, is Fire in the Shire, a little one-day Renaissance festival in Alma, Wisconsin. I've talked about it in the past. You should go, because it's fucking great. The little town is amazing, and the museum is so, so good, and I really, really enjoy this festival. That Casimir will be there, Casimiring it up. That is... all I really have at the moment.
Yep.
All right.
Well, all right.
Cool. All right. If that is all there is, then thank you so very much to you, the dear listener, for listening to this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, whose podcast it is.
Thank you to Matt for the Fast Five.
Thank you to Matt for the Fast Five. eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.